Welcome in, everybody, to another week of That Movie Show.
God, it's like we're here every week.
It really is. Every single week. It's almost like we're here every single week. We are here every week.
Wow.
That's the bit. Yeah, Mike Went, Liam Stryker.
What up? We here.
Bill Neville, not here.
Still.
That's why you're getting this setup here, which it's okay.
Yeah.
It works.
Yeah.
It gets the job done.
Yeah.
Less of a commute.
Yeah.
And today, because next Sunday
is the big game. And I can't believe that the
insert team here
and the
insert team here
are going to be playing down in Atlanta.
Oh, is it Atlanta?
Yeah, they're playing in Atlanta.
Why did I think it was New Orleans?
I don't know, because New Orleans seems like the Super Bowl city.
New Orleans seems to get everything now.
Yeah, it should be. Here, I didn't get it before. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Like, what, New Orleans?
Yeah, I was like, look, I don't know why everybody wants to keep going to New Orleans and all this other stuff. And then I went to WrestleMania in New Orleans.
Because of booze and titties, I thought.
Yeah, right. But it's like...
And occasionally broken Matt Hardy wanders the streets.
It's like more together Las Vegas.
Okay. What do you mean by together?
So like...
As in smaller confines?
Yeah, smaller confines.
Not as in they have their shit together. As it's just a smaller block.
It's a smaller block.
Okay.
Everything's right there.
Gotcha.
You know what I mean? You're still going to lose about the same amount of money.
Sure.
You might not accidentally solicit a hooker.
Well, maybe.
You know?
Let's see how your night goes.
Yeah,
but
right.
New Orleans has nothing to do with what we're doing today.
No.
Because this movie takes place in Balmer. Or Washington, I guess.
It takes place in Washington.
Filmed in Balmer.
Yeah.
Hence
yeah.
all the Wire extras in it. It's The Replacements. Yes. 2000's Replacements, also known as XFL The Movie.
Yeah, XFL The Movie.
We're going to get a lot of XFL references because this is XFL The Movie.
It really is. Also, really, really fun aside about this.
Sure.
So this is one of my favorite football movies of all time. I'm the one that suggested this back when we put the
polls up. Mine was The Program.
Yeah.
Same movie.
And so one of the things that I absolutely loved was I was going on a long trip, and I had a portable DVD player or a laptop or something that could play DVDs.
Gotcha.
And so one of the things that I rented from Blockbuster at the time was The Replacements.
Google it, kids.
Yeah, a Blockbuster, a video rental store. They had DVDs, all a disc that played a movie.
Think a physical Netflix.
Yeah, physical Netflix.
Yes.
And so I go in, I get the movie. I don't actually look at the movie until we start driving, but I open up the case, and instead of The Replacements was a movie called The Replicant. And it was...
I'm not familiar.
Yeah, neither was I.
Okay.
And I was really bummed out because I was like, this is not The Replacements.
Did it have Keanu?
It didn't have Keanu. Yeah. It starred Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Well, now we're talking.
And it's a movie... It's basically The One with Jet Li,
yep.
but with Jean-Claude Van Damme.
All right, we're going to look this
and
up right
so
quick.
And so it's Jean-Claude Van Damme versus Jean-Claude Van Damme in a movie where they, like, clone him or something. I don't know. It was not what I expected. It was not what I expected it to be. And... It was very, very interesting.
The Replicant. Ooh, he had Keanu hair, though.
He did have... One of them did. There was like
there
one...
There was two Van Dammes?
Yeah, he fought himself.
Didn't he do this before?
Probably.
Wasn't it like a...
Double threat or something?
Double something? Double impact.
Well, it wasn't...
Double impact. I think... It definitely was.
It wasn't double impact with Dennis Rodman?
No, that was another one, I believe.
Okay.
That might have had two Van Dammes in it. We're just going to do a Van Damme for a second
so,
here.
Yeah, so we're gonna go down.
Let's see. Jean-Claude Van Damme. There we go. All right. Wikipedia is going to tell us all about it.
Yeah, of course.
But The Replicant was a 2001 movie.
Yeah, we're going to have to do that at some point.
Let's see.
Because I don't remember it being very good.
Jean-Claude Van Damme, Catherine Dent, Michael Rook. Oh, you got the Rook in there?
Yeah.
Nice. Directed by Ringo Lam.
Mary Poppins, y'all.
And a 2001 American science fiction action film directed by Ringo Lam. Sounds good so far.
Yeah, right.
Starring Jean-Claude Van Damme. This is where the car starts to go over the cliff.
Yeah.
And Michael Rooker in 2001. It is the second collaboration between Van Damme and Hong Kong film director Ringo Lam. Fifth time Van Damme had starred in a dual role. Jean-Claude Van Damme is not a good enough actor to do one role in a fucking movie, and this is the fifth time he's done two.
Right.
Jean-Claude Van Damme. Who knew he was the Eddie Murphy of action flicks?
He is the Eddie Murphy of action movies.
Oh, my Lord. Let's get his, real quick before we get into The Replacements, just because this is so much fun.
Yeah, right.
Let's get into his body of work here. Where is his filmography?
I also remember Jean-Claude Van Damme, not in The Replacements.
He was not in The Replacements. He was in The Expendables 2.
Yeah, God.
2.
He was the bad guy in that
he
movie.
He was the bad guy. I liked it. Look at that mullet.
I liked the Expendables.
2?
I like all of them. I also was very, very intoxicated when I've seen all of them.
Well, you have to be.
Yeah.
The third one I actually enjoyed, mostly because of Mel Gibson stuff.
I didn't. You know what? I didn't see the third one.
Oh, see? Yeah. I always point to there is a scene in the middle where they capture Mel Gibson. And the scene, just look it up on YouTube. It's the Hague speech. It's like you watch and you're like, this is a goofy ass movie, but that's why you're Mel Gibson. Because it was like, wow, he's putting on an acting clinic.
Yeah.
Take notes, Sly.
Yeah.
I don't have Van Damme's filmography here. It's all kind of, oh, there it is. Okay.
Yeah.
There it is. Let's see. Let's get to the stuff. Bloodsport. That's like the first one.
We have to do Bloodsport.
1988's Bloodsport. He did Black Eagle. He did Cyborg. He did Kickboxer. He was working a lot. Like, this is all in the same year.
Yeah.
Death Warrant. Lionheart. Double Impact. There we go.
Yeah.
Universal Soldier. Last Action Hero. I don't remember him. I'm guessing it was a cameo.
Yeah. I want to say that he's in one of the, like, other movies.
Okay.
Like, that they, like, go into or whatever.
Nowhere to Run. I remember that. Hard Target. That was... Hard Target, I want to say, was John Woo's first American film.
Yes.
Sorry, John Woo. You wish it was Face Off. No, it was Hard Target.
It should have been.
Hard Target with mulleted Van Damme.
Yeah.
Cop, Stream Fighter, Sudden Death, The Quest, Mask. His movies, we could put these and Steven Seagal's movies together, and you wouldn't know which one was which.
That's so true.
Sudden Death, Marked for Death.
Oh, man.
Street Fighter, Above the Law.
Above the Law.
Hard
Below
Target.
The law.
Under Siege.
In Hell. Oh, In Hell's another one where he gets wrongly convicted of murder.
Is that Seagal or
no,
Van
Damme?
No,
that's Van Damme.
I don't see that one here.
So it's like a... It's later. But
okay.
He ends up having to fight, I believe, TNA...
Oh, yeah. 2003.
I believe TNA, TNA's Abyss.
Oh, my God, really?
I believe...
Joseph Park?
Yeah, I believe he fights Joseph Park in that movie because...
Well, shockingly, it was a direct-to-DVD release.
Yeah, no, this movie's not good.
Another one directed by Ringo Lam, though.
Yeah.
Wow, they loved working together.
Yeah, sure. And so then, basically...
America was not nice to Ringo Lam.
No, it wasn't.
He did some great Hong Kong movies, though.
Yeah, well, Hong Kong movies are awesome.
Especially when directed by Ringo Lam or John Woo, who then apparently came here and Hollywood's like... Don't give him Van Damme.
Yeah.
Let's see if they can make Shinola out of this shit.
Yeah, right.
Why are we doing Van Damme right now?
Yeah, do Van Damme.
Let's get into The Replacements.
So, yeah.
Because we could spend the whole...
So...
We're 10 minutes in, we're still on Van Damme.
Yeah, The Replicant was a movie that I got once in mistakenly for a replacement.
That's how we got here.
That was it. That side anecdote that wasn't supposed to go anywhere.
Fucking ADD.
And we decided to do 10 minutes on Van Damme.
ADD and Van
JCVD,
Damme.
Great. Yeah. Also, Jean-Claude Van Johnson, even better.
It's on Amazon Prime.
That is the best movie.
Mm-hmm. But it has nothing to do with what we're talking about today. Today we're doing The Replacements.
Yeah, with my favorite actor, Keanu Reeves.
Pull us back onto the track.
Yeah. I love Keanu Reeves.
I've heard that.
He is my favorite actor.
It gets uncomfortable at times, but I've heard that.
I love him. He is simultaneously the best actor and worst actor alive. And like more put together than Nick Cage.
It really is one of those moments where I'm like, you want me to leave you alone for a little bit?
Maybe.
So, The Replacements. Let's do the business so I can just get my OCD out of the way. Released August 11th, year 2000. Had a budget of $50 million. Only made $50.1 million back at the box office. Barely squeaked by breaking even, but it feels like a break-even type of movie.
Yeah.
It was directed by Howard Dutch. Let's see. It was written by Vince McEwen, I'm going with. Stars, of course, the thespian Keanu Reeves, Gene Hackman.
Yeah, I don't know how that one happened.
Orlando Jones, John Favreau, Brooke Langton, sure, and Rhys Ifans, I'm going with. He was a Welsh guy.
Yeah.
And a number of other character actors. Faison Love's in it. It's the film debut of this guy. What the hell is his name? David Denman, who he played the deaf guy in this movie, and ended up being Roy on The Office, Pam Beasley's fiance slash Jim's rival type of guy. So this was his film debut. Michael Jace doesn't age well.
No.
He's playing a convict and at the moment serving part of his 40-year sentence for killing his wife.
Yeah.
That's a true story.
That's bad.
You know him probably best from The Shield. He was a cop in there.
Yep.
Yeah, Faison Love, who this was actually where him and Favreau were introduced to each other and then went on to do Maid and Couples Retreat and became right. buddies that way.
Right. Jon Favreau also directed the Iron Man, first Iron Man movie.
Yes, he did.
And You're Welcome.
Oh, yeah. Basically, Jon Favreau created the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Yeah. So, You're Welcome.
Yeah.
You're welcome, because without Iron Man, and again, if you haven't, the first three of my Marvel rewatch series are all now up, right? We will have Iron Man, The Incredible Hulk, and Thor all up on newageinsiders.com.
So, am I the only one that thinks it's kind of weird that The Incredible Hulk is included?
It is
technically
weird.
In the cinematic universe, even though it's not.
You know, it's funny because the thing about it, everybody except for Edward Norton is all canon stuff.
Right.
And like fairly important.
And Edward Norton really tried hard to fuck that movie up.
Yeah, he did.
Really hard.
Yeah.
Thank God for Mark Ruffalo, though. Yeah, so we got Gene Hackman in this one.
That's the biggest shock of that.
Legendary actor Gene Hackman. Yes, yeah. The French Connection's Gene Hackman.
Yeah. He comes in, he adds a level of like...
Legitimacy
to this movie. Also plays the coach of this film very, very well. Yeah. Probably because he's done it before in movies like Hoosiers.
Mm-hmm. This was also the final film of Jack Warden,
yep.
Who plays the team's owner. Probably my favorite Jack Warden was where he played dual roles, going back to Jean-Claude Van Damme, in Used Cars.
Okay.
Kurt Russell, Robert Zemeckis, 1979, Used Cars. We will get there someday.
Yeah, all right.
It is a fantastic comedy. And also, Jack Warden, historically, is one of his favorite roles because it was the first time he ever said fuck on screen.
Okay.
Because it was an R-rated movie.
Yeah.
But yeah, Gene Hackman, what was he doing at this time? Because the early 2000s ruined him. And not even a joke, made him retire from acting.
Yeah, because this is around Royal Tenenbaums, right?
Which was wonderful. The Replacements. Yeah, I mean, that came the next year. But he was working a lot. If you look at his IMDb, just the year 2000, let's see. So he had Enemy of State in 98.
Yep.
Under Suspicion. I don't really remember that one.
Nope.
The Replacements, The Mexican, that was a bomb.
Which one was The Mexican? Is that
Brad Pitt, Julia Roberts?
Okay.
Yeah. And the El Camino.
They have the gun.
That's all I remember about it was El Camino. Yes, they were. It was anti-guns was the plot device.
Okay.
Heartbreakers, Jennifer Love Hewitt and Sigourney Weaver. It was a bad movie that he kind of railed against. Heist, I don't remember that one.
Yeah.
Royal Tenenbaums, which was fantastic.
Right. Behind Enemy Lines, great movie.
Great movie. Runaway Jury, not a bad movie. No, underrated Cusack movie. And then Welcome to Mooseport, which during press for that movie said he's gone on record as saying it was the worst movie ever and it's why he retired from acting.
Yeah.
And he hasn't done anything since 2004.
Yeah, he retired?
Yeah. He's like riding Segways in Montana. Look it up. Swear
to
God.
Weird.
It's weird.
It's weird.
But he did this movie.
Yeah. And, you know, I think because of his juice from Hoosiers,
yeah,
you know, this really kind of gives him the
Hoosiers
clout.
Juice.
Yeah.
Squishy.
Ew, yikes. That gives him the clout to kind of be this, like, Vince Lombardi-esque figure
very much in
this film. And it really works.
Yeah.
I think that Gene Hackman, what is it? It's Jimmy McGinty.
Jimmy McGinty.
Yeah. He's the... He probably is the best football coach, I would say. Like, the best actor of like that portrays a football coach.
Okay.
Personally.
I mean, you know.
Because Al Pacino's terrible, but a ton of fun.
Pacino was a ton of fun. James Caan was James Caan.
Yeah.
Program Any Given Sunday.
Yeah.
Which I went in a rabbit hole last night on football movies and watched all three of them.
Yep.
Which also it clicked, and I know I texted you and posted on social media. I completely, it's spaced on the fact that the program and Any Given Sunday were coached by the Corleone brothers.
Oh.
Interesting.
Very fun. That's fun.
Yeah. You got Santino on the program and Michael in Any Given Sunday.
Yeah. And then from there, the Denzel Washington.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's pretty good. And Edward Boone? No.
I don't know who that is.
The name of the character from Remember the Titans.
Yeah, no.
From Remember the Titans.
Not going to remember that one.
Look, here's the thing. I'm going to have to shout him out because he ended up coming up with the greatest football play of all time.
Okay.
The annexation of Puerto Rico, and that would be Rick Moranis
from
Little Giants.
Little Giants. Ed O'Neill, wasn't that one?
Ed O'Neill.
Ed O'Neill.
The whatever Cowboys.
Yeah, sure. Who else has done football movies?
Those are the big ones.
Those are the big ones, yeah.
Because I can't think of anybody who... I can't remember Varsity Blues.
Okay, so I think in my research, if I'm not mistaken, and I'm about to open up his IMDb again, but I believe Gene Hackman was the coach in Brian's Song.
Oh, yes. I believe you are correct.
Which starred James Caan.
Yeah.
And, of course, the ultra-smooth Billy Dee Williams.
Billy Dee Williams.
What year was that? That had to be 70s, right?
It's got to be. Brian's Song, Brian's 76? Song.
Let's see. 70. We're into 77.
No, guess
God,
not.
I forgot he was Lex Luthor, too.
That's right. Gene Hackman is pretty great.
Gene Hackman is phenomenal.
It's really sad that we don't get Gene Hackman anymore.
Did he not? Because I'm already at Hoosiers, and I haven't seen
that.
Yeah,
no.
Maybe he wasn't. Who the fuck was the coach in that? All right, now I got to
ask. Now you're
going to
look at that. But, yeah, so I want to say, like, so The Replacements, to me, the reason why I ended up picking it
mm-hmm.
was because it mixed, it's a very fun football movie, right? I think you look at, you know, more inspirational football movies like Rudy.
Brian's Song.
Brian's Song. Even The Program.
Oh, yeah, Rudy. Yeah, who was the coach in Rudy?
You know, it's inconsequential.
Favreau was in that, too.
Favreau.
That's where he met Vince Vaughn.
Yeah, that is. Yeah, and Vince Vaughn's in that.
So we can thank Swingers for Rudy.
Yeah, right. Wow. Crazy. But, you know, it's the most fun of all of the movies.
Mm-hmm.
Just because, like...
Okay, Jack Warden was the coach.
Okay.
That's where my research was clicking. So, okay, so Jack Warden was the coach in Brian's Song, owner in Replacements.
That's right.
It was a fun football movie.
Yeah.
Not Brian's Song, The Replacements.
Yeah, no.
Brian's Song wasn't fun.
No, it's very sad.
Yes, very sad.
But The Replacements definitely, you know, because it kind of takes the... It's the anti-Any Given Sunday. Like, Oliver Stone goes in there and stylizes it, and, like, it's just like, oh, football, football, football. Whereas this is just like... This is what would happen if a bunch of normal Joes got to play in the NFL.
I'm not lying. I know I texted a bunch last night to you. It is the XFL.
It is. It is. It is. It was funny. We were joking right before we started doing this, but I'm pretty sure that Vince saw this movie.
It came out the year before the XFL.
And was just like, this sounds like a great idea.
Stripper cheerleaders.
I love it.
We can do something with this. Call Ebersol.
XFL.
X is for extreme.
Extreme. Where it's not your father's football.
Oh,
or it is your father's football.
It's your creepy uncle's football. Let's be honest.
Look, there's going to be more concussions.
More concussions, and we're going into the cheerleaders' locker room.
I can't wait.
NFL cheerleaders don't even have a locker room.
Yeah, I can't wait for the XFL to come back.
Yeah, but it's not going to be as fun as it used to be.
Because no.
They're going to try to keep it serious. It's, you know, it's... post every bad thing that could have happened, you know, has happened. The Me Toos and the Time's Ups. And it's not going to be the fun, shenanigan-filled XFL that we remember.
Right. Well, the interesting part is, like...
What are you doing?
I was tied up in the cord.
You really are.
I'm tied up in the cord. So, the thing with the XFL was you decided to bring it back when ratings were super low in the NFL last year and amidst all the kneeling controversy.
Right.
Well, I don't know if you paid attention to football this year, but ratings are up. Everybody loves the product and there's no controversies.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, no major controversies in that widespread anymore. And so everything that you were building the XFL on to kind of overtake the NFL isn't a problem anymore.
Right.
So I don't know where you fit in, and we've talked about it a bunch on various different shows.
Sure.
But the issue with the XFL is you're not going to have the top talent.
No.
You're not going to, like, all of the top players are still going to go to the NFL.
Yeah. I mean, the XFL, even in its original incarnation, there wasn't a need for it.
No.
There wasn't a point for it.
Right.
And it was just a bunch of fun.
Right.
And I mean, you can still, there's actually a YouTube channel that has every one of the games in full form. And there was a time when I was doing overnights, I would occasionally pop on, just like put it on for a few hours because I had time to kill.
Because you wanted to see the Orlando Rage versus the Las Vegas Outlaws.
I was a big Outlaws fan.
Everybody was.
I still want that shirt Stone Cold wore at One Night Stand.
Yeah.
And I looked on eBay and it's like, they just don't have the right sizes.
Yeah.
And they're like really expensive, like too expensive for me to justify an XFL shirt.
Yeah.
That's not going to exist next year.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's going to be fine, I think. My guess is this time around, it's going to be like, would be a great analogy. I mean, it's going to be like ROH to WWE.
Right.
Plain and simple. It's probably going to be on those lower tier regional sports networks. Or, you know, I'm guessing you'll find it on, like, you know, NBC Sports.
Yeah, probably.
Which, you know, it's not going to be on NBC, let me put it that way.
Yeah, right.
I mean, even the original incarnation got booted over the Versus after a while, or TNN, or whatever it was called at the time. Yeah. But we are really going into XFL, and I feel like we're just wasting time. You know what?
Well, because
you know what? We'll do an entire XFL show when the XFL comes around.
Oh, the thing is that
this is the XFL movie,
right? This is the XFL movie, and it because feels like that.
And here's the big question. So we open the movie with the Washington Sentinels,
yes,
I believe, and there's a big announcement done on a voiceover. I believe John Madden and Pat Summerall are the commentators in this one, and they're saying as of 4 p.m. today, the players are going on strike.
Yeah.
I know I texted you last night. It seems like only the Washington team went on strike because all the other teams have kick-ass players that beat the shit out of the replacements.
Yeah, you're right. There's also, there is a moment.
Unless they just really recruited solely from prisons.
Who knows? but there is a point in the movie, and I forget exactly when, that they talk about that. I think the person from, one of the players from Detroit.
Okay.
Is crossing the picket line. Like one of their big defensive studs is crossing the picket line.
Okay.
So I want to believe that it is.
You have to imagine the whole league went on strike.
Yeah.
One team just doesn't strike.
Right.
That's called folding.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
But anyway, so the players go on strike. Jack Warden, the owner, is like, we're still going to continue the season. Get me Jimmy McGuinty. Because apparently the coaches went on strike too.
Yeah. It feels like everybody.
Everybody just said, fuck it.
Yeah.
Four games left?
Yes. Which is weird.
It's a weird time to go on strike.
Yeah, there's four games left.
Normally this stuff, the players union stuff is strategy, you know.
Yeah.
It's based the contract, around the off seasons.
The league year.
Your contract doesn't end in the middle of the year.
Yeah.
Nobody's does.
Yeah, never does.
Players are contracted for the year.
Right. That's weird.
Anyway. For plot's sake, they went on strike with four games.
Well, it's to give a sense of urgency, I think, because like... Because
they still want to make the playoffs.
Right, and so they think that this is going to happen.
Right.
Like, the players are going to come back.
Yep.
And so it's like, oh, we still want to make the playoffs, but it gives the film stakes.
It's also very necessary roughness. That was another one.
Right.
That kind of did this as well.
The weird part about it is, just because I'm a little bit of a dork, Shane Falco, he...
You must be a quarterback with that name.
Yeah, of course you are. And we'll get into my...
Shane Falco.
We'll get into my Keanu Reeves quarterback universe later.
Don't call him Johnny Utah.
we'll get into that later. But... So, at the beginning of the movie,
yes.
Shane Falco is a quarterback that cleans boats for a living, like in a harbor.
Yeah, he basically scrapes the barnacles off the bottom of the boats.
Off the bottom of the boats. And
right.
He lives on a houseboat, and that's
right.
What he's doing. So, you are leading me to believe that there are four games left in the season.
Yes.
Right? And so, that puts this at the beginning of December.
In Baltimore.
Well,
Washington.
Washington, right?
It was filmed in Baltimore.
That water is so cold.
Yep.
And everybody's just like hanging out in t-shirts.
Again, this is the XFL, so it's probably mid-June.
Yeah, right. You're right. They're playing at the Baltimore Ravens Stadium, and that's why this makes sense.
Funnily enough, they were actually filming at halftime during Baltimore Ravens games. That's why the stadium was packed of people.
Yeah, that
so
makes
they
sense.
They had like the stunt coordinator on one of the DVD's features said, at halftime, we would have 9.5 minutes to run out, film, and get the fuck off the field.
Yeah, that's so funny.
9 minutes.
That's so funny.
That's insane way to film a movie.
That is an insane way to film a movie. You'd be better off just being like, hey, and we're going to film a movie if anybody wants to hang out.
Film it in the off season. Digitize the crowd.
Or don't show
the crowd. They did it in Forrest Gump 6 years earlier.
Yeah.
So it can be done.
It can be done.
It can be done.
But you're still talking about Maryland, Baltimore.
Baltimore.
In if this is supposed to be an NFL replacement, because I'm assuming the reason why it's the Washington Sentinels is because you couldn't get the NFL rights.
Right.
You know, having Madden and Summerall there
legitimizes it,
but also makes it like, oh, this is supposed to be the NFL.
Okay, that's something I also questioned. And this is just me probably not paying enough attention to football broadcasts. When did John Madden actually do commentary?
John Madden was the Monday Night Football commentary.
Okay.
And so he was the Monday Night Football guy, and I think he retired in like 2008.
Okay.
So.
All right.
Yeah.
Because so, it's just, it's one of those things I'm like, I know he did it. I just don't remember it.
Yeah. He was not, he wasn't like a Sunday morning broadcast. It was back when the Monday Night Football was like the primetime game.
But for the sake of the XFL movie, he's playing Jesse Ventura.
Yeah. He's playing Jesse Ventura. So I assume that is, but it's just like, that's, it is far too cold for you to be hanging out the way you hang out.
It was, I mean, and just looking at it, it was so done. I mean, it was summertime.
Right.
Look at the practice.
Right.
Sun is shining. Everybody's in tank tops. They're hanging out. It's, you know, nobody's cold.
No.
There's not a stitch of snow on the ground.
And for you to be in Washington, it's just, that's not how weather works.
Right.
That's not how weather works.
They get snow there.
Yeah. This, you should have been the team from San Diego.
They have seasons. Yeah, that would probably would have been better.
Like, everything's built for you to be the team from San Diego.
Right.
Or Los Angeles.
So we got Shane Falco scraping shit off the bottom of a boat. Because
Gene Hackman basically puts down the ultimatum. He's like, look, here's the deal. I want to pick my players that I'm going to play with for these four games. And it's just like, yeah, of course, man.
Yeah, cool.
You got four people. Just do it.
There you go. Here's a list.
Yeah.
So we run down
everybody.
The introductions.
The exposition.
Yep.
The exposition train just comes rolling into the station.
That whole Jack Warden, Gene Hackman scene was just all the director. When you showed up, I was watching the commentary track with the director. Even he was like, yeah, there's a lot of exposition in this, but we needed it.
Yeah.
We just had to get it out of the way in this one scene. And I mean, you got Gene Hackman, Jack Warden, let him do it.
Yeah, right. So we're just going to set up the entire movie. Look, these are all
here's our characters.
Players.
Here's why we're doing this, et cetera, et cetera.
And here we go.
There we go. So we got Favreau, who's a SWAT team.
Yeah, he's
cop.
A crazy, like, I think he's a Detroit SWAT.
Sure.
Something crazy like that.
They introduced him by basically barreling through a door.
Yeah, he's nuts.
Yeah. The director said that his character was basically looking for a legal way to inflict violence on people.
Yeah.
That was Favreau's mental backstory.
Yeah, right.
So that's where he comes from.
That's a good one.
We got the two brothers.
Yep. They used to be linemen.
Then now they were like a rapper's security, which we briefly see them letting the rapper get mobbed by people, and they're like, oh, we're going to go play football.
Yeah.
Like in the middle of a job.
Yeah, right.
As you do.
Because again, contracts expire in the middle of
stuff. In the middle of stuff in this movie, apparently.
The deaf tight end.
The deaf tight end, yep. Who was Roy in The Office.
Yep. The wide receiver who is the fastest man alive but can't catch.
Yep, Orlando Jones.
Yeah.
You know him from the Sprite commercials.
Yep.
And nothing else. He was in Office Space, but very limited.
Yeah.
That was also around this time. Office Space we should get to. It's coming up on its 20th anniversary this year.
Right.
That was a weird introduction. He's basically doing security for a Vietnamese convenience store?
I think he just works at a Vietnamese convenience store.
He just posts up in track-ready position at all times?
Well,
waiting for someone to shoplift?
Yeah, someone gets shoplift, and then he takes off after him.
The guy shoots a starter pistol, and he just goes running after him, I guess, or something?
Right.
They never really explore that, though, because I get it, he can't catch. And that was more the crutch of his character, because you never see him run fast in the games.
Right.
Like, they make him, like, Captain America-like speed at the end of Infinity War.
Yeah.
Like, he just, boom, he's gone.
Yeah, he's just off to the
races. But they never really use that in the games.
No.
The only thing in the game that happens is the catching thing, where they basically lather up his hand with glue.
Yeah, and then...
Which is illegal.
It is illegal. Although, you should feel gloves now.
I know. There's a lot of stickum on him.
Yeah.
We'll take the Welsh kicker.
The Welsh kicker, the sumo.
The sumo center.
I think that's although
we got Michael Jace. He's there.
Yep, and so he's the person they got like paroled just for this.
Yeah, he's Ricky Vaughn basically.
Yeah.
He's Wild Thing Rick Vaughn from Major League. There's always one.
Yeah,
there's always one that they get him an early release somehow to play sports.
Yeah, it's weird.
As you do.
Yeah.
Some
sort of weird work
for convenience. We got a cop. We need a convict. We need that scene of conflict. And then they become friends in the end. And they all come together.
He's going back to prison. Give him the ball.
That's another thing. A lot of fucking dancing in this movie.
Okay.
That's the thing. If you watch the trailer.
Yep.
You'll think this is a fucking musical.
Maybe.
Because the whole trailer is all the dancing scenes to Gloria Gaynor.
Yeah, that's
I right. Will Survive.
Yeah.
That's the whole trailer.
That's fun.
I watched it. I'm like, this is a terrible trailer for what the movie is.
Yeah, correct.
Terrible. Like, they show the whole jail scene.
Yes.
Start to finish.
That's so
all
fun.
The beats.
That's very fun.
Yeah, a lot of dancing for a football movie.
So, obviously, the team doesn't at first get along.
Of course.
Of course, they don't get along. It doesn't work. It's terrible.
It's Major League.
It's yeah, right.
This is the Major League part of it.
Yeah, everybody's having a rough time. Everybody's having
Who would have thought all these personalities could come together?
Yeah, right. That
hilarity ensues.
Classic. So, basically, Shane Falco's just getting picked on by all of the real NFL people. And I think it's because he's just the most recognizable. Right?
Apparently, he's the only one that parks in the player parking lot.
Yeah. Well, I think that it's because he's the most recognizable, I think, is what it ultimately boils down to. Right? All of these people are just like nobodies.
Well, they also... Okay, so... And I know this was an abandoned plot thing. But all the players, with the exception of Shane... show up on a bus to the stadium.
Right.
Now, it was alluded by the director that there was a plot that was completely cut. It was never shot. But in the writing, where they live in, like, an apartment attached to the stadium.
Oh, weird. Okay.
Which is why the bus drops them all off at the same time and they never leave the stadium.
Yeah, and Shane still lives on his boat.
Still lives on the boat because Jimmy McGinty has to go and convince Shane.
Right.
The rest of them are like, yes, I want to play pro football. Shane's like, oh, I don't know, bro. I'm having a good life here with the fish.
Yeah, right.
Me and my barnacles, even though when I'm down there, I find a trophy of mine and I look at it and say, wow, I used to be a football player.
Yeah, sounds about right.
It's pretty good. It's pretty good. I just wanted to keep going because I was like, wow, I'm actually doing pretty well with this Keanu voice.
Yeah. Yeah. So maybe that's the reason.
I guess. Whatever.
Sure.
But all it is the build up so that the whole team's already on the field and Shane has his superhero-like entrance with the misting and the hair waving. And
the Keanu entrance.
Oh, my God. It was so... Again, in the director's commentary, even he said, yeah, this is my Tony Scott scene. He's like, Tony Scott can do these scenes because he's Tony Scott. I was afraid about this scene. But it worked.
That's good.
It works for the movie because the movie's stupid. It's the XFL.
It's stupid. It's fun. Yeah, so the players just roll over his car because...
The actual players, not his team.
Yeah.
But the on-strike pros.
Yeah, he's a scab.
They continually dump his truck.
Yeah, they're going to just keep dumping his truck. So
I was going to call AAA. That's not how that works.
Yeah, right. Subplot with the cheerleader. It's kind of dumb because we just needed a love interest.
Yep.
That's kind of dumb. I'm going to skip that. but
it does get us the very funny sequence of the cheerleader tryouts.
Yes.
Which apparently they went through like 300 auditions. And basically in the audition, the actresses were basically instructed to create their own cheer.
Okay.
And he picked the top 10 and like, those are ones that are going to go.
Oh, great.
So the stuff you see, the actress doing it actually came up with it.
Oh, that's fun.
They had to also, it's such a little thing, but just watching the commentary track, because in an original test screening, people didn't understand what was happening in that scene,
okay.
So they digitally added the banner tryouts behind the cheerleaders.
That's so funny.
So that people would be like, oh, here's a spoon, let me feed you.
Yeah, right.
Tryouts. He's obviously going to fall in love with the head cheerleader.
Right, of course. And she loves football, and she likes him because she knows who he is.
And her dad owned a bar and was a football player, and
blah, blah,
she
blah,
knows
blah.
Everything.
Yeah.
She's calling the plays, basically,
yeah, right.
From the sidelines in her choker and short hot pants or whatever the fuck
they
are.
Right, of course. So
but we do get the fun cheerleaders from the strip club.
Yeah, we do.
And all their friends.
And they're fun. They're fun.
There's a fun sequence or two.
Yeah.
Where they distract the players, as you do.
So we try to do the game. Orlando Jones gets very, very nervous and throws up in the huddle.
So did Jamie Foxx.
Yeah.
This movie, I mean, they're all the same.
They're all the same.
The program, Any Given Sunday, this, Rudy.
They're all the same.
Yeah. Kind of.
It does get the really fun thing where they all huddle up and then they move the huddle on three.
Yep.
That's a very fun scene.
Because they couldn't come on the same, they couldn't get on the same page. Of course they couldn't.
Right.
So they got to delay a game, and they kept getting delay a game penalties.
Yes.
So it's like, well, let's just move.
Yeah.
Does that work?
Yeah.
That's how football works?
You know that you don't have, like, there's no specific place where you have the huddle.
Right.
Like, in theory, you don't even need to have a huddle.
Right.
Right? You just...
Well, sure.
There's just lining up rules.
Right.
So it's like, yeah, if you were like 5 more yards back or to the left, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, but why did that not get them a delay a game?
Well, because...
Why did moving the huddle not get them a delay a game?
So moving the huddle stopped everybody from talking about the throw up? and saying that they were going to throw up.
Jesus, is that what they were doing?
Yeah.
I thought some... Okay, that's why I was confused. Yeah. Because I thought them doing the little huddle shuffle actually, like, stopped the delay of game clock somehow.
No, no,
and that's
no,
why I just didn't get it. I'm like, I don't know that rule.
Yeah, no, the idea was is that...
Oh, my God, they all just could just walk. They didn't have to do the fucking Tom and Jerry shit.
Yeah, no. The thing was is that they were getting the delay of game because Falco couldn't get the play out to them.
Right.
Because they were all like, I'm going to throw up. No, I'm going to throw up.
Then they start arguing.
And then they start arguing about their spots in the huddle and stuff like that.
Right. That was the big thing. All the three fat guys started arguing with each other. The sumo and the two brothers.
Right.
One of them's name was Bear, which I absolutely love.
Yeah.
Like, not Faison Love, which is also an awesome name. But the other guy's name in real life was Bear.
Great.
Awesome. Great. I think they were, I want to say they were the Jacksons.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I think so.
I think that was their name in this.
Yeah. And so they end up going to a bar after their first game because they lose they couldn't get their act together. And so Orlando Jones starts trying to sing.
This is the first time we get Gloria Gaynor.
Yeah. And
I will survive.
You know, and so that's trying to work. They're trying to work that out. And all the real NFL players or football team people.
Although I did like his line. It was so Faison Love was Jamal and Bear was Andre. So he puts on Gloria Gaynor on the jukebox.
Yeah.
Song starts playing. He starts humming himself to the bar, sits down next to Andre. Andre says, "Why'd you put this song on?" One of the best throwaway lines you could probably find. "Man, I put on the Commodores. This shit just came on by itself." I'm like, you know, that's fucking funny.
That is.
That's fucking funny.
That is good.
But yeah, the pros show up.
And a bar fight ensues.
Of course it does.
Because they're trying to beat up the scabs.
We get a...
And this is like...
We get a great... Favreau was amazing in this scene.
Yeah.
Drunk off his ass, wearing a sombrero.
Yep.
Smashing a man's face into multiple glasses on the bar, screaming, "Who's the man?"
Yeah.
Like... Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, that just works.
Jon Favreau, just generally very underrated.
He really worked in this, too. And it was thin Favreau.
Yeah.
It was right around when he was doing the Rocky Marciano thing and Made, and he was in shape, Favreau.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and just Favreau in general is just very underrated.
Of course.
I can't think of a bad thing.
And now he's banging Aunt May.
Yeah, now he is banging on May.
We could do again, I'm trying not to get sidetracked, but
yeah,
I could do a whole thing on that whole Far From Home trailer.
Yeah, I know. Oh, great. It's going to be fun. But the looking at the quarterback, like the original one, like the real pro.
Dude's 50.
Yeah, easily. It also feels like they wanted Travolta from Swordfish.
It was the era.
That hair.
And the soul patches and stuff.
Yeah.
It was just the era.
Yeah, he has like a soul patch. He's got light brown hair with like blonde highlights.
Yeah, it was the era.
Oh, God, you look like such a douche.
Yeah, it was just the era. Everybody had that thing, though.
Not Keanu.
From late 90s to about like 2002, that was a very popular look.
Yeah, but not Keanu.
No, of course not.
Because Keanu's the best.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
We're getting close.
Oh, boy.
We're getting close to the Keanu-verse.
So they get arrested.
Yeah, they all get arrested.
Not the pros.
The pros.
The replacements get arrested.
Yeah, because they just get the bond.
Because we needed another dance sequence.
Right. Well, this is the moment in the movie where they all get on the same page.
Because they dance.
Right. Mind you,
there's no music in jail.
Right. There's no music in jail.
Which is really weird if you think about that.
Yeah.
That there's a group of football players now dancing.
And
doing the electric slide.
Still intoxicated. Right, because they didn't get sober from...
To nothingness, to Orlando Jones just singing.
Yeah. So...
And somehow they're all keeping rhythm as if there was music, because we're hearing the music because there's a soundtrack.
Yeah.
But in the
Life
context
have one.
Of jail,
right.
Who had the stereo?
You're right.
Was it Gene Hackman with the world's first smartphone?
Yeah, it had to have been.
Had to have been.
Right? So, but this is what ultimately galvanizes the unit.
Because he shows up.
Because, well, they're all... They
and he's
all,
like, you know, all right.
They're all dancing, and they're all getting their stuff together, and so...
Yep.
The next day, Falco shows up, and, you know, they're going to flip his truck again, and the brothers show up, because everybody's friends now.
And shoot the shit out of the guy's Porsche.
Yeah, just destroy the guy's Porsche.
By the way, this was another one of the scenes, and I know I texted you last night about it. I really believe this was originally an R-rated movie.
It had to have been.
Because there's a scene that they didn't even bother overdubbing and Faison Love looks at the guy and says motherfucker, they just muted the audio. And you he's right on camera. You can see his mouth the words motherfucker. Same on the bus when they were pulling up and the pros were all throwing eggs at the bus. You can see the Welsh actor Reese in Infants who's playing Nigel Guff in this one, or Gruff, Nigel Gruff. He's clearly yelling fuck you and flipping off the people, but you can't hear any audio.
Yeah, of course.
It was clearly an R-rated movie that got edited to conveniently PG. To PG-13 just to take language out.
Yeah.
Which I'm curious about, because at the time there was a lot of successful R-rated sports comedies. I mean, Tin Cup is the one I go to, which I think made almost $100 million at the box office.
So. You know, and I wonder what an R-rated version of this movie would have been.
I mean, I think it would have been the same thing, just with language.
Yeah.
I think it was just language, because they had no problem, because, you know, PG-13 rules, you can say shit as much as you want.
Right.
And you're only allowed one fuck, and it can't be used as a verb.
Yeah.
Those are the rules. Like you can't use fuck in a sexual manner
in a
PG-13. So the one fuck comes with the sumo guy at the lunch table.
Right.
And I forget exactly the line, but that's where it shows up. But there was clearly altered fucks throughout the movie. Yeah. And I think it just would have been a vulgar movie.
Yeah, probably.
So maybe someone said, hey, if we cut this out, you know, pie charts and stuff,
we
can get a bigger audience, which
naturally
didn't matter because they barely broke even.
Yeah, didn't ultimately end up mattering.
No.
So, yeah, and I don't think it would have been the difference between breaking even and making
absolutely
more
not
money. So, who knows?
Who knows?
But, yeah, so
the movie that ever was.
Yeah. They end up getting their stuff together. Everything's going great. And then we find out that the quarterback, the original quarterback, is going to cross the picket line and join the team.
Because the team's doing well.
Because the team's doing well, right.
And he hates Shane Falco.
And he absolutely hates Shane Falco.
Yeah.
And so he's going to take control of his team because, for the last game of the season.
Mm-hmm.
And
he's gonna be the victor. He's gonna be the hero,
right? And you know, return back to the team and everything. And so
the 50-something-year-old quarterback.
Yeah, and so sure enough, this just dejects Shane Falco and destroys all of his confidence. Naturally.
Okay, so this final game had me a little weirded out. Like, I get it. Your star quarterback comes back, crosses the picket line. Wouldn't Shane just be the backup?
Right.
Like, he goes to the houseboat. He's watching the game on his houseboat. Until the half.
Right.
When he
comes back.
He doesn't have a car.
Yeah.
His truck's been all fucked up. I don't know how he gets there.
He Ubers.
Yeah, exactly. Again.
Took a taxi.
There was a lot of time travel in this movie. The subplot really wasn't explored as much.
Yeah.
So like, they had Uber and smartphones. And
He absolutely had to have lived 4 blocks from the stadium.
Had to have.
Because in order for them to hear it, Gene Hackman go, yeah, we need Hart.
Yeah.
You know, for him to be like, that's him saying he needs me. To like, that's showing
the clue.
Up. To, for like him showing up.
That's my bat
like,
signal.
also, Shane Falco's timing is perfect in this.
Yeah.
I can't play. I don't know who can play with these losers.
Yep.
I can.
Yep.
You know?
Was he just waiting in the hallway, waiting for some kind of really prolific thing to be said?
Yeah, of course.
I can punctuate that.
Yeah.
I can. But yeah. So he goes back to his houseboat instead of just
being
the backup quarterback.
Right. I would have to think that the actual backup quarterback also,
like he came back and nobody gave a shit?
Yeah.
He didn't get a backstory?
Yeah, no, he doesn't get a backstory. But you know what I mean? Like the quarterback department came back.
Now, granted, I can imagine that, what the hell was the guy's name? The quarterback. Martell.
Yeah, Martell. Okay.
So I can imagine, because of the character they developed, he was probably a big enough prick that was like,
it's Shane Falco's off.
I'm
going
to come back, but you have to cut him.
Yeah, right.
Like, I can imagine that. It just wasn't shown.
Yeah.
And the way they did it was weird, because even if that happened, then Shane would have been, like, fired. So him coming back at halftime would have been a weird, like, whole contract thing.
Yeah, right.
Like, there's a whole subplot with contracts and agents and stuff. And Shane Falco sitting in a room with lawyers.
We need
and,
Jerry Maguire.
You know, yeah, exactly. You know, there's, again, subplots.
Yeah. So who knows?
This movie actually is The Replicant.
Yeah. It's, yes, it actually is.
There's two Shane Falcos.
There is.
So he wins the game, obviously.
Yeah, so he wins the game.
And they do another dance.
And they
for
dance.
For fuck's sake.
Yeah. The weird part about that,
apparently the house PA DJ knows exactly the song they love.
Yeah.
Because he was in jail with them. Just didn't know.
Yeah, he was.
He was in the. He was the guy in that the actually guy. had the stereo.
Yeah, he had the stereo.
It's like, guys, don't worry about it.
He doubles as a just because most people have like
your synchronized dancing. I gotcha.
He's also actually one of the cops that arrested them.
Oh, very convenient.
And so he was in the. He was
so.
In the jail.
So it's a. He's a part time DJ in a stadium. I yeah. gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. It's better than working the detail.
Everybody loves Gloria Gaynor and the electric slide, apparently. Yeah,
apparently. And so then it ends and they all stop playing football.
Yeah.
That's the
It's Major League.
Yeah, that's
They go to the playoffs. We never see the playoffs.
Well, because that team doesn't go to the playoffs.
Right. The pros come back.
The pros come back.
You have to imagine they lost because karma.
Yeah, right.
But who knows? Yeah. There was a proposed sequel.
Yep.
Never happened. But there was plans for Major League 2. The replacements, but he basically my imagining is that Shane Falco and the head cheerleader
together.
They get together. She runs the bar. He scrapes shit off of boats.
Yeah, and that's
we
it.
Just go back to the beginning.
Yeah, that's it.
You know,
that's it. And then you know, 6 months from now when
I guess the cheerleaders went on strike too. That just clicked because yes. She built a whole new squad of cheerleaders. What the fuck?
Yeah, I know. It doesn't actually make sense.
Now, were the refs scabs?
I don't know.
Were the refs replacements?
Was John Madden scabbing?
Seriously?
I don't know.
It seems like the whole league, including the janitors, went on strike.
Right. Everybody. Who knows? I don't know.
Ugh, that strike for convenience was convenient.
I would like to think that Shane Falco, ends up getting a XFL contract.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because it's like, wow, Shane Falco came and played well. So
yeah.
I'm Detroit and I don't have a quarterback. So
I'm the Orlando Rage. Yeah. I want that guy.
Yeah. I want that guy. Cause I am the Orlando Rage and I don't have a quarterback.
I mean, it's kind of the same plot of Slapshot.
Yeah.
The ham and egger team that does well in the season gets, the whole team basically gets relocated.
Right.
In Slapshot, it was actually to Florida.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm putting the whole team together. I got a coaching job and everything. I'm bringing my guys. And it's like, that's not how sports work.
Yeah, no.
You just can't bring a team. There's already a team. Right. You got hired. Oh.
Yeah, right.
Stop adding logic to movies, Mike.
I know it happens.
All right. So we got about 15 minutes left in this. Do it.
So, okay. So as some of you may or may not know, the plot of The Replacements revolves around Shane Falco.
Yes.
A former Ohio State quarterback.
Yes, he is.
That shit the bed in the Sugar Bowl.
Yep.
And so that's why he is disgraced and is shaving barnacles off of a boat.
Mm-hmm.
There is another movie, which we will definitely do in this. Maybe a compare and contrast, just because one is perfect and the other one is the remake.
I haven't watched it. I won't watch the remake.
I won't, because
there's no point to it.
There's no reason. So, and that is Point Break.
Yes.
So Point Break.
There's no point to the Point Break remake.
Yeah, there's no point to the Point Break remake. Wow.
There you go. Wow. See what we did there?
Yeah. Because the original stars.
Teamwork. Banta.
The original stars Keanu Reeves and Patrick Swayze.
Your other favorite guy.
Oh, God, I love Patrick Swayze. And it's...
Roadhouse. It's in the archives. NoAgentSires.com.
Because here's the thing.
It gets weird.
I don't know if you know this, but the Fast and the Furious franchise is based on the original Fast and Furious, which is just the plot of Point Break.
Okay. Keep going.
Oh, did you not know that?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Oh, have you not seen the original Fast and the Furious?
Not in many years.
Oh, yeah. It's Point Break.
Okay.
Handsome undercover cop goes to infiltrate a group of suspected...
Jesus, it is.
Car racers. And,
it is.
Yeah, it's just Point Break.
Just without surfing.
Without surfing. It's car racing instead of surfing.
My God.
Yeah. So, anyway...
How does this play into Ohio State?
So, in Point Break, Keanu Reeves...
Johnny Utah.
...plays Johnny Utah, a Ohio State quarterback.
Utah!
In which he blows out his knee during the Rose Bowl,
right.
And then joins the FBI.
Gotcha.
Right?
Yeah.
So this made me believe that I should do some digging.
They're the same character, right?
That this is alternate versions.
Okay.
This is one of those splintering timeline situations.
So let me see if I got this so far.
Basically,
Johnny Utah.
Yep.
Blows out his knee.
Yes.
Becomes an FBI agent.
Right. Point
gets
break.
Fired because he lets Bodie go.
Right.
Starts scraping barnacles off the bottom of boats. Gets called back into the pros. joins the XFL. Someone kills his dog, goes on a rampage. Am I with you so far?
See, that's fun, but that's not what my theory
go
is.
Go on.
My theory is that everything, every Keanu Reeves character at some point was an Ohio State quarterback.
Okay.
Right? And based
including,
on...
Including Ted Theodore Logan?
Including Ted Theodore Logan, okay. Right? Some are more glamorous than others, right? Obviously, Johnny Utah and Shane Falco, but it all every movie and
fucking
plot...
Fucking great names.
Every plot just goes like differently on how that bowl game finished, right? So in the Johnny Utah timeline, he went to the Rose Bowl, blew out his knee to then get to Point Break. In the Replacements timeline, he goes to the Fiesta Bowl and shits the bed to get to there, right? In the John Wick timeline, he wins the Fiesta Bowl,
okay,
right? But because it wasn't necessarily like, you know, it was Ohio State in the 90s,
sure,
right? He doesn't make it to the NFL, okay, and then becomes a murderer.
All right,
okay. There's also that timeline for the Hardball, and I forget his character's name on that one.
Connor O'Neill,
but didn't get drafted, decided to pursue baseball instead, but then ends up teaching inner city youths.
How about Donnie Barksdale, the redneck wife beater in The Gift?
So he was the backup quarterback and lost in the .com bowl.
Because he has the same hair and hat style as Shane Falco, by the way.
Yeah, right.
Which I always found very weird how he wore his hat. He didn't pull his hair back over his ears. He let it fall in front of his ear. Look how Keanu Reeves wears hats with long hair. It's kind of fucking weird.
It's weird.
Kind of fucking weird. How about Kevin Lomax from The Devil's Advocate?
So in the Devil's Advocate, he went. He played very, very well. He was just a solid quarterback. Ended up in the Orange Bowl. They won, not by a lot. Ends up not going to the NFL and instead decides to pursue a law degree.
What about Johnny Mnemonic from Johnny Mnemonic?
Johnny Mnemonic, he actually gets cut from the Ohio State football team.
Okay.
His sophomore year.
And there's nothing more than that.
Yeah, no.
Okay. I'm stretching. How about Todd from Parenthood?
You know what? I've never seen Parenthood.
You've never seen Parenthood?
No.
Oh, my God. That is a great movie. Steve Martin, it's a classic. But there's a lot of, like, unbelievable actors in that movie.
Okay.
Parenthood, 1989. Check it out.
Yeah.
What else can I throw at you? How about Jack Fenton from Babes in Toyland?
So he was still in high school in that point and being recruited to play quarterback in Ohio State.
Oh, very good. He was in Youngblood?
Apparently.
Interesting.
Yeah.
As Heaver.
Yeah, of course.
Sure.
Of course.
Sure.
Also,
Youngblood, very underrated hockey movie.
Right before Babes in Toyland, it was a lot of like TV and like ancillary shit.
Well, we're getting into the earlier 80s where he just was doing TV movies.
Yeah.
But also in the early 80s, TV movies were very prevalent.
They were very big.
Movie of the week.
Yeah, right, of course.
So is that your whole deal?
Yeah, that's my whole deal.
How about Don John from Much Ado About Nothing?
So they haven't his great 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 grandson is an Ohio State quarterback.
Okay. So and of course the last one of this, Neo.
So
from The Matrix.
So Neo, this one's a little bit different.
Okay.
Right? So this is a very, very different timeline. He ends up going to Ohio State to play quarterback, ends up becoming one of the like the third string backups. Mm-hmm. So he's in charge of like data analytics. And so that's where he starts to understand like computers.
Ooh.
And so he ends up getting a desk job.
The internets.
Yeah, he ends up getting a desk job after like learning about college, internet in college, and then ultimately learns kung fu.
I'm assuming that Jack Traven from Speed is just Johnny Utah in disguise before he became Johnny Utah.
Yeah, they have he
had to work his way up to the FBI, so starting as an LA cop.
Yeah, so he ends up
even though it came out 5 years later.
Yeah, he ends up winning the bowl game, but again, not being in the he's not like a quarterback that's going to go to the NFL.
Sure.
So
well, he's going to go to the XFL.
Yeah, he's going to go to the XFL.
So at the end of this. This Ohio State quarterback that Keanu Reeves has always played always ends up in the XFL.
Right, of course.
I love how the XFL movie has become the XFL movie,
yeah.
Also known as 2000's The Replacements.
Oh, I love it.
We haven't decided what we're going to do next week.
No, we haven't. We haven't.
We haven't. So, let's see. Off the top of my head, what came out? What's celebrating anniversaries? Do you have anything off the top of your head?
For anniversaries?
No, just movies in general.
Oh, okay. Well, we have the three other movies that are in the glorious DVD pack that I have that nope. consists of
Moving
Pixels
on.
2, Joe Dirt 2, oh, Pixels 1, Grown-Ups 2.
Okay.
Pixels and Joe Dirt 2.
Joe Dirt 2.
So we could always do any of those.
We always could, but won't.
I guess the question I would have is do we want to do a good movie or a bad movie?
I'd like to kind of stay with a better movie.
Well, that's not an answer.
Kind of?
That's not an answer.
Kind of?
So.
Let's see. I'm looking up movies that were released in 1999. Ooh, Drop Dead Gorgeous is a great one.
1999?
Yeah, 20th anniversary.
Oh, okay. Yeah, sure.
It is 2019, am I right?
Yeah, I gotcha.
All right.
I mean, we could also just do The Godfather.
We could. That might be a long pod, though.
Yeah.
That we might have to extend that one to a couple hours.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, so The Godfather.
We could also do another one of my favorite ones that is not as long, which is Casino.
A Casino, yeah, that's a good one, too. When the hell was Casino released? Eyes Wide Shut keeps coming up in American Pie. Those are both 1999 releases.
Yeah.
So we could do that. The Godfather. Casino is a good one. Actually, let's save Casino because in March I want to do Vegas movies because I'm going to Vegas in March.
Okay.
So we're going to do, I'd like to do the Casino, Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, and The Hangover.
Oh, okay.
In 1 month.
That movie that is far better than Planes, Trains, and Automobiles?
Says you.
Says me.
Says you. Says you.
Says, I says me's.
Says you.
This is also probably the best thing to do during a, oh, Fight Club.
Fight Club. You want to do Fight Club?
Yeah, let's do Fight Club.
All right, come up next week, Fight Club.
Fight Club. I'm glad it took us that long to get here.
That's literally how we decide these things.
Yeah.
You just got to experience it live. Unedited, because we don't do that.
Let's try and get Meatloaf on the show.
Yeah. Bob?
Yeah.
Bob?
Let's see if we
His can... name was Robert Paulson.
Yeah, let's see if we
let's
can...
get Meatloaf, because Brad Pitt won't come on.
Yeah, no.
He's got that, you know, court injunction against me.
And there's no chance that Edward Norton...
Not after the Hulk comments.
No, not after the Hulk comments.
But I guess, you can check out Liam's Hulk review over at newageinsiders.com, yeah. As you've done three now?
I've done three. So it's the first three in the Avengers movie series. It's Iron Man, The Incredible Hulk, and Thor.
Okay.
So
far, two out of three aren't bad.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, no. I will have done four at this one. And Iron Man 2 as well.
Two.
Iron Man 2.
Where the wheels start to shake on the car.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, are we really going to do this?
Yeah.
But we get Don Cheadle, so that's always fun.
We get Don Cheadle, and I do think Mickey Rourke is pretty good in this.
You know who I liked in this? Sam Rockwell.
Sam Rockwell.
He's never bad.
No, Sam Rockwell's great in everything.
Yes, because he's Sam Rockwell.
Yeah.
All right, so next week we got Fight Club. You have the Marvel re-reviews.
Yes, the Marvel re-reviews.
On newageinsiders.com. You can follow this podcast on all podcasting apps under New Age Insiders. Pop, hit the subscribe favorite or whatever it is just to follow it, and you get them every single Monday. Newageinsiders.com also has all our audio and video archives. What else? Social media at Mike Wendt, at Liam NAI, Hashtag that movie show. And as you saw, that's how we pick movies on what to do. So if you have an idea for a movie,
just tell us.
Tweet us. That's the easiest way.
That's how
way.
We got Gladiator.
That's how we got Gladiator.
A friend of mine was just like, kept saying, keep doing Gladiator.
You know, we've had requests for Fourth Fail Lane.
I know.
Just saying.
Yeah.
Just saying. I know you and Bill aren't favorable of me doing an hour of Dice, but it's going to happen.
Sure.
It's going to happen. Then maybe we get Dice on, and then we do Dice on Dice.
No, God, no.
Dices!
Bye, everybody.
See you next week.